On last week, we give you four questions for to consider on last week. And those four questions that we asked from chapter 1 through chapter 20 is this. Number one, the first question we asked is, what am I trusting in for my salvation? Am I really basing my salvation on what God has done for me, rather on what I do for him? The second question that I addressed was, am I really experiencing my redemption and adoption? In other words, am I really set free? Do I really have an Abba Father relationship with God? The third question is, am I helping others grow up in Christ? Am I helping them depend on God? Am I doing everything for the glory of God? And then the final question was, am I willing to hear the truth even when I don't like it? Am I willing to tell the truth to others who might not want to hear it? And so the reason I ask you to really consider these questions last week was because of today's section from Galatians chapter 4, verse 21 through verse 31. And what we find here is that Paul, he took the familiar story of Hagar and Sarah, whose sons are Ishmael and Isaac, respectively, and he drew from it basic truths about the Christian's relationship to the law of Moses. And so the events described, it actually happened, but Paul uses them as an allegory. An allegory is a narrative that has a deeper meaning behind it. And so as we look at this, what we're going to do is we're going to approach this text, these remaining verses, and we're going to discuss them by doing three things. We're going to explain the Old Testament story. Secondly, we're going to explain the New Testament allegory. And thirdly, we're going to be making applications. So this is how we're going to divide it tonight, by explaining the Old Testament story, explaining the New Testament allegory, and by making applications. So let's begin to look at the Old Testament story. Let's look at verse 21 through verse 23. So let's turn our attention to that. I want to read it from the English Standard Version. It says in verse 21, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law?" Verse 22, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman." Verse 23, "But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through the promise. So when you look at this story is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 15 through chapter 21. When you have time, you go back and you read chapter 15 through chapter 21. And so what this story, and I'm just going to give you the highlight of the story so you can get an idea. Abraham was a prosperous businessman in Ur of Chaldees. When God appeared to him, he told him to take his wife Sarah, leave that land, and go to a land that God will later show him. But God also promised to give him descendants who would become a great nation. So that means you're going to have to, actually you back up to chapter 12 through chapter, because that particular part. And so as we look at this, that was all well. That was all good, except that Abraham was 75 and Sarah was 65, and they had no children. So in the course of time, they arrived in Canaan, the land God promised them. 10 years passed, and still no son had been born. And so since the biological clock was ticking away, so to speak, Sarah suggested that Abraham marry Hagar, Sarah's Egyptian maidservant. So after some hesitation, Abraham agreed. In due course, Hagar became pregnant, and a son named Ishmael was born. It should be noted that Sarah's motive, on one level at least, you might say it was noble. She concluded that since she was 75 years old, there was no way she would ever have a baby. Now that was no doubt a perfect reason and a perfectly human conclusion. So she asked Abraham, she and Abraham decided to take matters in their own hand and help God out. But of course, you and I know that God doesn't need our help. And whenever we try to help God, instead of waiting for God to reveal his plan in his own way, in his own time, things get worse and not better. And so that's exactly what happened. So when you go to Genesis chapter 16, it says that animosity arose between Sarah and Hagar in verse number 4. And you could have guessed it. When you got two women sharing one man, that's never going to work out. And so 14 years pass, and Abraham is now 99, and Sarah is 89. Chapter 17 and verse number 1. And so we can find that they are up in age. There is no chance, none whatsoever, that they will ever have a child together. But watch this. At precisely that point, God announced that Sarah would conceive and bear a son within a year. God worked a miracle. And 12 months later, Isaac was born. So here's what I want you to write down, because what we're going to summarize is verse 22 and 23 of Galatians chapter 4. So I want you to kind of make a chart, if you will. And then when you make that chart, this is what I want you to put in this chart. Because we're looking at the Old Testament story. The first thing that you put in the chart is that you have one father, Abraham. But Abraham, you have two mothers, Hagar and Sarah. You have two corresponding sons, Ishmael and Isaac. The first son was born the ordinary way by the flesh. The second was born by God's intervention. So Ishmael was born by the way, by the flesh. Isaac was born by God's intervention. Ishmael was born by compromise. Isaac was born according to promise. So in that sense, Ishmael was born by works. In other words, they were trying to solve the problem by human effort. But Isaac was born through faith, by believing God's promise. So that's the chart that you have as we're looking at the Old Testament story. But now we want to see how Paul allegorized that historical true story. So we're going to look at verse 24 through verse 27. This is the New Testament allegory. All right, let's begin to read in verse number 24. Which things are an allegory? Verse 24, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, verse 27, rejoice thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate have many more children than she would which have an husband. So let's begin to look at these verses and to see what we can learn from the New Testament allegory. The easiest way to sort this out is to start where Paul starts, with two women and two sons, all of them literally people who actually lived on the earth and whose stories are told in the book of Genesis. So what happens next is that Paul looks back at these historical persons and draws certain conclusions from them. In essence, what he sees is he sees this. He sees a huge difference between Hagar and Sarah. Hagar represents law. Hagar represents law. Sarah represents grace. So you have law and grace. Hagar stands for trying to please God through your own efforts. Sarah stands for trusting God alone. And the sons born to them, you have Ishmael, is the way of works. The way of works. Isaac represents the way of faith. So when you boil it down, Paul is saying that Hagar is the line of works. Sarah is the line of faith. And all humanity is either in one line or the other. There is no third line that you can choose. And those who follow Hagar are the people who believe that religion and good works and self-effort would be enough to gain forgiveness, salvation, and a place in heaven. But those who follow Sarah are the people who have rejected self-effort and have chosen to receive the gospel salvation by grace through faith. So you are one today, we are one or the other. Hagar is either our mother, spiritual mother, or Sarah. And so as we look at this, we're going to see some things more. When you look at verse 24, in verse 24, he says, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai. Now, when you look the reference to Mount Sinai points us back to the giving of the law to Moses and the earthly Jerusalem is the Jerusalem of the first century, which was the world headquarters of Judaism, with its dependency on the law as a means of salvation. But since no one, and we talked about that earlier, since no one can be saved by keeping the law, the people who lived in Jerusalem are enslaved by the law. They are trapped by demands that they can never meet. So let's go back. The slave woman, Hagar, produces a slave son, Ishmael, who stands for everyone who is enslaved by the law-keeping as a means of salvation. But by contrast, Sarah stands for the promise of God found in the gospel, which reveals to us the good news that Jesus died for our sins and he rose from the dead. So the salvation Jesus offers is free to anyone who would take it by faith. Look at verse 26. He says, but Jerusalem, now look at this, which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. This salvation offers true and lasting freedom. We have. Let's go back and look at this. The slave, Agar, produces a slave son, Ishmael, which stands for everyone who is enslaved by the law-keeping as a means of salvation. All right? The free woman, Sarah, produces a free son, Isaac, who stands for everyone who is free from the law to be saved by grace. And so verse 26 and 27, when you look at that, these are a quotation from Isaiah 54 and verse number 1. Isaiah 54 and verse number 1. And what happens is it points to a coming day when the barren woman, Sarah, will rejoice because she has far more children than the woman with a husband, Agar. So ultimately, the law cannot produce life, but grace produces life abundantly. So now, let's summarize the allegory. Make another chart, if you will. And this time, as you make this chart, we're going to look at the New Testament allegory, if you want to put it as a heading, the New Testament allegory. It goes like this. One man, Abraham, had two sons by two mothers. The two mothers represents two covenants. The two mothers represents the two covenants, law and grace. Law and grace. One comes from the earth. The other comes from heaven. The law produces bondage, but grace produces freedom. This is the difference between every other religion and Christianity. So from Abraham comes two vast streams of humanity. You can write that down. From Abraham comes two vast streams of humanity. There is the work stream. The work stream of humanity. Now, the work stream of humanity goes like this. Abraham, Agar, Ishmael, Mount Sinai, the law, earthly Jerusalem, bondage, death. Let me say that again. The work stream of humanity goes like this. Abraham, Agar, Ishmael, Mount Sinai, the law, earthly Jerusalem, bondage, death. The faith stream, that's the second stream. There is the work stream, but then there is the faith stream of humanity. The faith stream of humanity goes like this. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Mount Zion, the gospel, grace, heavenly Jerusalem, freedom, life eternal. Let me say that again. The faith stream of humanity, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Mount Zion, the gospel, grace, heavenly Jerusalem, freedom, life eternal. Now, if you notice something, that Abraham stands at the head of both lines. Abraham stands at the head of both lines. That's why it's not enough to be Abraham's descendant. The important question is not, is Abraham your father? But watch this. The important question is, who is your mother? Hagar or Sarah? Woo. So let me just look at the application, and then we're going to close this out. Y'all, give me a few. Look at the application in verse 28 through 31. When you look at that, he says, now we brethren, as Isaac was in the children of promise, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, in order to make his final point, what Paul does is that Paul returns to the story. He goes back to Genesis chapter 21, and we are told of an incident where Ishmael was abusive toward Isaac. It was customary for the Jews to wean their children at about the age of three and to make an important occasion out of it. And so at the feast, on that special occasion, Ishmael, who was about 17 years old, began to make fun of Isaac. And that really upset Sarah when she saw it happen. And there was only one solution to the problem, and it was a costly solution at that. Hagar and her son had to be removed from the home. With a broken heart, Abraham sent Hagar and Ishmael away, because that is what God had told them to do, in agreement with Sarah, with what Sarah had told him to do. So next week, what we're going to do is, because Paul wants us to understand three things, and we're going to spend a little time on each of them, that what Paul wants us to do as we look at verse 28 through verse 31. But in the meantime, as you look at that, what I want you to go and look at chapter 5. Go ahead and read chapter 5 and even chapter 6, because we're going to be looking at the practical section in chapter 5 and chapter 6. Because what you're going to find in chapter 5 as you're reading is that the Galatians had been set free by the gospel, but they had willingly given up their freedom in Christ and had again become imprisoned and trapped. And Paul was not about to leave them stuck in that prison. And so throughout this letter to the Galatians, Paul had been making his case that salvation is free grace, gift of God, and we are not worthy of it, and we cannot earn it. And so go ahead and read ahead, and then we'll look at those three things that Paul deals with as we look at that third thing of the application. How does it apply? So at this time, we're going to unmute everyone. If you have any prayer requests, please make them known. Thank you again for listening. Is there any special prayer requests that anyone have at this time? Any other prayer requests? Yes, go ahead.
Prayer for me.
Okay, Nadine, got it. Anybody else?
That's what I'm saying.
Anybody else?
My mom and dad.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go down the line and list those that we've already have solicited for prayer. And we'll add those. We're going to pray for Ken Gatewood, continue to pray for him, Tiffany Henson, Susie Rice, Evelyn Johnson, Dorothy Bates, Mary Edwards, Brother and Sister Nix, Ramona Williams, Sharon English, Bonnie White, Ron Beatty, Mark Luther. Let's continue to pray for Joan Long Cousin, and also pray for traveling grace for her. She'll be traveling to Texas and to be with her daughter. Just pray for her and her husband, Brian and Amanda. They'll be expecting their child. Pray that everything go well with that. Continue to pray for Darlene Milligan. Pray for her sister, Teresa. And also, we just want to congratulate the Baldwins. They had another great grand boy today. So just pray, thank God for that. Just pray for that family. And also pray for Sister Nadine as well, who had a CAT scan today. And we just pray that everything turned out well with her. And also pray for her mother and for her father. But this time, we're going to mute everyone and have a word of prayer. And Father in heaven, Lord, we again thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for this avenue you once again given us through this conference call. Lord, we ask you at this time to be with those who have continued to ask for prayer. Ken Gatewood, Tiffany Henson, Susie Rice, Evelyn Johnson, Dorothy Bates, Mary Edwards, Brother and Sister Nix, Ramona Williams, Sharon English, Bernie White, Ron Beatty, Mark Luther, Joan Long, Cousin Greg, Darlene Milligan, her sister Teresa. Lord, just be with them and continue to give them the things that they need. Lord, be with Sister Long and those who may be traveling with her as she travels to Texas. Lord, give them the safe passage. Watch over them as they make it there safely. Be with their, be with her daughter and their son-in-law. Be with them, Lord, as they're expecting their first child. And Lord, we just pray that everything go well with them. Lord, we just continue to be with Brother and Sister Baldwin, be with their granddaughter who had another boy on today. And Lord, be with them. And she's still in the hospital. Pray that everything will go well, that she can be able to be released. continue to be with Nadine as well, and just pray that, Lord, as she had us CAT scan today, we just pray that the results will come back, everything will be fine, and she'll have a good report. Continue to be with her mom and dad and bless them with the things, Lord, that they stand in need of. Lord, continue again to watch over us. Continue to watch over this country, Lord, and things that will be transpiring in the coming days. We just pray, Lord, for peace, and we just pray for safety, and just watch over those families as well. Continue to be with us, guide us throughout this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.